Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Come down Friday, they have an all new music happy hour going on. They've got a live vinyl spinning of all new music. You can come down and pick up the brand new Foo Fighters EP, Rah Rah Riot, Yacht, Wolf Mother, Thundercat, Animal Collective, and Lake Street Drive. So if you want to grab one of those, come down and get yourself a copy. They always have their local music selection there. There's tons of great CDs, vinyl, and tape from your favorite locals. And always live in-store performances on Saturdays. To see more information about those and everything else, you can go to their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
This is Sean O'Brien, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from the lovely Chesterfield, Missouri, hanging out with Sean O'Brien. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Shane, thank you, man. Thanks for coming to my place.
Yeah.
This is pretty easy for me. I just literally had to wake up, which I did about 30 minutes ago, and the reason that's pathetic is that it is 1:45 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea of my shitty lifestyle, is that... it's literally like I could have slept longer,
sure,
but I knew you were coming over, so I was like, I better get up and get productive. You know, like I got to start my day.
Yeah,
I got things going on. We got this going on. So yeah, I got up about one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really shaking things up in society. Granted, it's President's Day, and so a lot of people have off. But even the average person, I would think, was probably up. Like some people have already had two meals. By the point,
right.
I was still in bed. So I will say, I guess, in fairness, my clock, though, goes the other way where I'm a night guy. I am up till – I was out hanging out last night. I got home at like 1, stayed up, watched New Walking Dead, watched John Oliver, then watched whatever Netflix, you know, and then So the next thing you know, it's like 5. So I guess if you look at it from a did he get more than 8 hours of sleep, I think it was right at about 8.
Yeah.
So I think isn't that regulation?
Yeah.
Like 8 is the standard?
Sure.
Which I know most people don't get, but I think that's what you shoot for.
Yeah, I used to work nights like 3:30 to midnight. Actually, it was 4 to 12:30 for a while, and then it went to midnight. But anyway, I used to work that, and then I would go home, and then I'd, you know, like the same thing you were saying, like I'd watch TV and stuff. And then it used to be... Saved by the Bell would be on TBS at like 6 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
For an hour. And whenever I would watch, I'd watch Saved by the Bell, and then that would be my cue to go, all right, time to go to bed. The sun's coming up. And
it's curtains. So, yeah. It's curtains. People are getting up. I got to go to sleep. You know, it's funny you say Saved by the Bell. That was one of those shows that it was, I can't put my finger on it. It was like annoying when it was on the air, like when it was in running like cycle, yeah. I was already annoyed with it, but I couldn't stop watching the thing.
Right.
But like I was like, this show is so dumb, but I love it. And then then the show's done, but then they put reruns on TBS or whatever it is.
Right.
And then you're like, well, I guess I gotta watch this horse shit again. I don't even like it, but like for some reason I can't stop watching. I was like that with Full House,
sure.
Without question, one of the worst shows ever. It was so beyond corny, with this aw shucks kids and. You know, every moment was like, you know, you don't do that. Now you're going to get grounded for a week, but give me a hug and let's go get cookies. And they're like, thanks, Dad. I love, like, not one kid. Now, those girls never rebelled one time.
Yeah.
But I was like, this show is the dumbest fucking thing. I'm going to watch again next week, though. I think it was like on Tuesdays when I was a kid, man.
Right.
And I remember it was like, I think it was like that. And no, maybe it was Fridays. It was TGIF. What it was.
I think they bounced around a little bit, but yeah, they landed on the Friday Night Lineup.
It was that, and I swear, I think it was Perfect Strangers. At least when the time when I was watching it, it was Full House, the Perfect Strangers, or that show with Paul Reiser, Mad About You. No, is that it?
I think so.
Ah, shit. I think I have it wrong. There was a number, but whatever. The point is, it was just one of those dumb shows where I was like, I'm annoyed at it.
Sure.
Like, I'm actually annoyed, yet I keep watching it. Saved by the Bell was in there. Saved by the Bell was a little bit more identifiable, at least to the fact because it was high school kids in the time I was in high school. But I was still like, man, these guys are weird. Yeah. You know, Slater's hair was weird then. Even then, I'm like, it looks like it's like Kenny Powers has in Eastbound and Down, yeah. Like a Soul Glow mullet, you know, Jerry curl thing. Just gross, you know. I guess you know what's his name, Mark Paul was. He was pretty good. Exactly, yeah. He was all right. And I don't know the hottest chick on there though. I guess I would go with. I'd probably take Kelly out of the crew, sure. Man.
Yeah,
although they all went different paths, man. She, I guess, tried to stay in acting. And then, what's her name? Elizabeth Berkley. She made Showgirls.
Right.
And then I don't know what happened after that with her.
Yeah.
And then that Lars Voorhees, I think she just got, like, heavy.
Well, I think...
I'm not trying to be shit because I'm a fat bitch. But I don't think much happened to him. I think Screech is in jail right now, legitimately.
Yeah.
He was in and out because he, like stabbed someone at a bar.
Right.
But it was in self-defense, but it wasn't, or who knows. But I think he got pinched for a couple months. And I'm not kidding. I think he's doing like 4 months right, like, and he's in the middle of it.
Huh.
And then Slater, like, hosts a fucking, what is it, like, Entertainment Tonight. And then I think Mark Paul actually is, like, got some sort of career. I think he does well.
Yeah, he was doing some couple shows. But yeah, I just popped up, like, on my Facebook memories or whatever that do that thing. And then, it was like 1 year ago the other day that they did that like reunion thing on
Fallon. Yeah. So. But they no dice with Screech and no dice with Lisa.
Yeah. But it was really funny what they did that, and I liked they kind of did you know, they made a joke about, you know, Jimmy was going to New York to do stand up and be on SNL, and then they were like they said something like about whatever Elizabeth Berkley's character, but. They were saying, oh, Jesse, it was like, that's like her becoming a stripper or something like that. And, you know, and they laughed, and it was just like, it was nice to playing on that, all that stuff, that, you know, the real life stuff.
Real life shit, yeah. Yeah, at least it's honest.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I guess that Screech guy, I've heard. Funny thing, he was actually in St. Louis a few months ago.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was. Yeah.
And I wasn't around. I was gone when he was here, but I guess he was a nice guy. And, you know,
was it Valley Park?
It was in Valley Park, but it was just like, God, man. I don't know. In a way, I kind of feel... I don't know if I feel bad for him or not. It's like, you play this nerd, literally, a fucking geek, and you got this dumb name, and it's just one of those places, it'll just follow you forever. Like, you just can't shake it. Like, I feel like no matter what that guy will do, he'll always just be... Like, that's what he's got to hear forever. He'll be 50. Like, you're right. Screech guy for... Every goddamn day. He's playing jail right now. They'll be like, are you motherfucking Screech? And you're like, oh, God, man. I cannot escape it. That's the only time I feel for him. Like, when you become such a character in a show that's all you're known for. But I guess that's all he kind of did. Sure. But,
well, I mean, that's like, I think that's all those guys. Like, you look at, like, Urkel, you know, Jaleel White.
Yeah, although he popped in a commercial. He was in, like, a Honda Suntan commercial.
But he still had Urkel. Like, there was, like, Urkel Dowell there with him.
Yeah, because you got to identify him. Because you're like, I don't know. Who's this dude? It's just some black dude driving a car. I don't know.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's all these guys. I think, I don't know. I feel like that's probably, like, with almost anybody, though. Like, you know, that's their thing. You know, like, obviously the Screech or whatever. But, like, you know, there's all kinds of these bands. Like, they hit with a huge song, and then, like, they regret... That, you know, they don't want to play that song and stuff like that. You know, it's like
and
that's what you're, like, known for. People, like, you know, it's like that.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I don't know if this is, I think this is the band, and I think my buddy Matt was telling me this was years ago at Pops. Filter was there, and don't hold me to trial in this story, but I'm pretty sure he was like that. He went, and, like, everyone wanted to, like I don't know if it was Hey Man, Nice Shot. It was, like, whatever, like, one of their big songs. And like, I guess they were like, no.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing new shit or something. But now I'm mad at myself because now I think it's not Filter. Now I think I have the wrong band. But it was, like, a band. It was a band. I don't know. Fuck, I might have my info wrong. But it was a band that was obviously not. Filter's a kick-ass band, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, like, it was a band that had, like, a monster hit for sure. And then a lot of people wanted to see that, hear that song. And then whoever was like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. It's like, you better do that, motherfucker. That's why you got. That's why you have money right now. Yeah. Is because of that song.
My buddy told me a story about going to see, I think it was like Deep Blue something at
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, going to see them at like the Mississippi Nights or something like that years ago, and that was the thing. Like that was like that they did that song. You know, like they were like, okay, if you came here to see Breakfast or hear Breakfast at Tiffany's, here you go. They played a number one song, the first song they'd played, and basically saying, if this was all you showed up to hear, here you go, see you later. And like apparently like the whole place like cleared out, like everybody came to hear one song and left, and then according to his story, you know. So I was just I was like, that's not a really a great move to, you know, you might want to think of, you know, save it for later in the set. And
yeah, I mean, look, man, I be proud of it. Who gives a shit? You know, you think Bono wants to play Streets Have No Name?
Right.
They probably want to put a gun to their head every time they hear that. But they have to play the damn thing.
Yeah.
People go bananas. In a live, hate that band or whatever, in a live forum, that thing is beautiful. I think it's phenomenal live. But it's like, they've literally played that song, I think, more than any song. You know, and they're probably going to be able to, but it's like, look, man. This is what sells, you know. I mean, that's
you think about how many times like the Stones have had to sing "Start Me Up" and stuff, like, you know.
Sure. Even in comedy, man, like some kind of, like, you know, my buddy Greg Warren, he has this bit for like 8 years. He's been doing called Flute Man. It's completely universal. Like you hear that, it's like, oh, that's Greg Warren. If you know who that is, and I've done tons of shows with that guy,
sure.
And I mean, he is always closed with it, and it never does anything but just kill.
Yeah.
And I know in his brain he's like, if I have to fucking do this shit one more time, I swear I'm going to jump off. I'm going to stage dive head first into a table and hope I pass out.
Yeah. I thought
because you're just fucking so sick of, like, as an artist, you're just so sick of hearing the same shit. But he also knows that was such a draw, because he did that on Bob and Tom.
Yeah.
And then the thing just blew up, and it really kind of, I'm just saying, made his career. It certainly gave it a nice boost, though.
Sure.
So he closes with it. So he closes with a bit that people love, that I'm sure he's sick of doing.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's a great joke.
Or Gaffigan doing Hot Pockets.
Right. Yeah, certainly. Man. I mean, people, I've heard, like, people will walk by, if they see him in an airport, they'll just shout that out, you know? So, I don't know, man. You know, in a way, I think that's kind of cool. Like, I wish I had. I wish somebody, you know, just come out, you know, they see me and said, you know. Someone just walked by me and they're like, hi. I'm not known for shit. I don't got any identity. So
I thought of a Greg Warren joke the other day, actually. I was at work and laughed about thinking about it. But when he's like, what's your street name?
Greg. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
No, your address.
G-Rock.
Yeah.
No, dummy. The address you live on. Oh, Whispering Pines. Yeah, he's great, man. That guy, I don't know, I mean, he's a, like, you know, he's a great headliner. He works all over, and he's a St. Louis guy, but I mean, he's, you can catch him anywhere in the country. He goes all over, and I used to live with him for about 3 years, man. He had a place in Kirkwood. I lived at his place. Let me get the story right. It wasn't like an apartment we shared. It was his condo, and I paid him money to stay in a room. And,
all right.
Oh, man, I drove fucking bonkers, man. I drove him absolutely through the roof. Just because I'm one of those guys, I really don't even do it on purpose, but I just ask, I guess in hindsight I just ask senseless questions. Like, I know I was talking about this before, like at the bar a few weeks ago, but I was watching a movie with my buddy Josh, who I live with now, and I was not even fucking around. Like, I sincerely, we're watching Home Alone. It just was on like one of the, you know, premium channels. Like, let's watch this. And there's a quick, like, 5-second scene when Kevin rolls out a map, which is like the game plan for how he's gonna, like, get the bad guys through his little booby traps. And I actually go to Josh, like, in my brain, I thought this was like a legitimate question. I go, hey man, where do you think that map is right now? I mean, I swear to God, he looked at me for like 15 seconds with a blanket stare, and he's just like, I don't know. And just continued, like, it was, like, it is in his head. It was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why is this even on your mind? And if, like, in my idiot head, I kind of want to know where it is. I'm like, well, did Macaulay take it? Yeah. Is it hanging? Like, is it framed somewhere? Did they just throw it out? Is it in like a what? That's the shit that interests me. Now, that's my roommate today. Now, if this was Greg Warren, he seriously would have said, get out. Yeah, go to your room or leave the condo. I'm not listening to your horse shit for another hour of just start peppering me with these idiotic questions. And I really don't, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, no, this is what I would ask myself if I'm watching something alone. So right. I'm that guy who, when people always say, like, oh, you ever meet that guy who just doesn't shut the fuck up? That's who I am, the guy. That's who I am. They're talking about me. Like, oh, man, I love him, but he just goes on and on about nothing. I admit it. I own up to it. That's who I am, Shane. That's what I do. Just, hey, where do you think those blinds came from? What factory?
Right.
Who cares, O'Brien? You asshole. God, you are such a pile of shit.
But that movie's a classic, though, man.
I saw they did a
I don't know if you caught that on. There was some people were sharing the video around, but Kevin...
He was riding the car or something. What was he doing? He was just being all crazy and smoking and like.
It was like a little, just a little, you know, short film or YouTube video thing. But he, Macaulay Culkin, you know, relived the Kevin McAllister character, and it was like a Uber thing. Like he picked a. He gets a car, and then like, the guy's like, you know, he's talk, or he's the driver, and then like. The guy's like, he switches places with the driver, or the customer, I guess. Sorry.
Right.
So that guy starts driving, and then Kevin's sitting in the back, and he starts saying like, "Oh man, yeah, just things have been crazy, you know. Like, first my parents left me at home. You know, they all left to New York City without me. You know, he's like telling the whole story, and then these guys break in, and like so. Anyway, it's just kind of funny, like to." Now he's in a, you know, 30 years old or whatever.
I think he's 35 or 6, man. Because I think the kid's, he's the same age as me. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But just, it was just really funny kind of going back to what Kevin's doing right now, like, kind of thing. And
And that's, God, man, that's got to fuck with your brain a little bit. I mean, being like a child star that young. So he was 10 years old, I think, when that thing blew up.
Yeah.
And I mean, that thing was out of control. Like, I remember, I think I saw it in the theater twice, and then it came out on VHS. And I think I got it as a gift. I would loop the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be like I'd play the damn thing, play it again. I swear to God, I think I watched 6 hours of it back to back to back.
Right.
It was just the coolest shit when you're 10 years old, man. That
thing, you know? Everybody wanted one of those talk boys and all, you know.
Which one was that?
Tape recorder thing and all that.
Oh yeah. That was from the second.
I mean, that's
but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Everybody wanted to have all the stuff that all the little gadgets and things that Kevin had in his.
Yeah, I also like how they take criminals and they just make them look like these knock-around guys who are harmless. These guys are trying to burglarize. He's a felony.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, like they're just all shucks guys. But yeah, that's what comedy is, man. It's preposterous and silly. And
I love the fact.
And I think that was Pesci right after Goodfellas,
I
think, which is even more like he plays this nut job of a mobster. Yeah. And then he goes into this goofy burglar who's stepping on nails and getting paint cans thrown in his head and falling on, you know, micro machine trucks or whatever the fuck.
And doesn't curse a single time.
Yeah, no, it's like, I'll get you, you little piece of crap.
Like,
who talks that way? Doesn't your grandpa say that when he's mad or something?
He's always just gritting his teeth and like growling and like.
By the way, we should just call his podcast "What Happened in Circa 1991" because we have hit on Full House.
Hey man, this is
Saved by the Bell. And by the way, that's the beauty of this show. Like, we had no plan of talking about any of this at all. We actually had a plan about at least like 20 other things, but that's how these things work. That's why they're fun, man.
Hey,
you put up an idea.
We're putting out the tough hitting issues, man.
You know, I want to say something real quick. This is nothing to do. Back, it was about, you know, man, I tape all the late night shows just to see if they put on comics. And
you tape?
I DVR. You know, if I tape. I still have it. I still say tape.
Yeah.
We use that as a you know, metaphor, but DVR, all those, and I'll be honest, man. I have respect for all those. I really do, man. Conan and Fallon and you know, Kimmel and other. Dude, I just Fallon. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like that is all. Like I just don't think like his interview style just to me just seems like he's always slapping the desk and like falling. Like to me, Kimmel, I think, is great, man.
Yeah.
Like that guy is the closest thing to a great host.
Sure,
but Fallon kills. People love him.
Yeah,
every celebrity comes out, dances with him. But there's just like this thing with him where I'm like, I can't tell. I was like, is that who that guy really is? Is he just the nicest guy in the world, or is he playing it up for the camera a little bit? And you don't know. Where to me, I feel like a Kimmel or like that guy is being as genuine and real who he is. I don't know, man. In no way, I'm not shitting or slamming. You know, like, fuck, if anyone ever called me to even just go watch that show in audience, I'd be there. But I don't know. I watch them to see what comics are on, and you know, I'll just sometimes just delete if no guests I know of. But like, I watch a few, and like, it's just like, this is what people like. Maybe that's like the same people like that are the same people like you too. Like, sure. Maybe that's what the demo is going for. But
I got to talk to Nick Vatterott a while back about some of the, you know, he's done
he's done a few of them,
Conan,
right?
And Fallon. He did Fallon on Late Night. I mean, I don't know. He's the way he talked, like, those guys are real nice. Like, he, you know, he didn't really get to hang with them much. They kind of came in and introduced themselves, but they were kind of making a joke about how Conan, you know, he's all about supporting these stand-up comics and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just funny how, like, it just kind of, every time a guy does a set or a girl does a set and he walks over, he's like, oh, that was great, thank you, know, and like, it's just funny that how he says it every time, so it kind of starts to lose its effect, you know.
Like, right, it's just almost like a stock line. And regardless of what they do, man, it's like you're on a national platform, you're on his show. I mean, that shit's already been passed. Like, they already know what time we're going to do it. Just hopefully it lands in the audience. But the audience is pumped in. Like, they're not pumped in, I should say, like, with fake. But there's a warm-up guy probably timing punchlines and saying, go.
Yeah. Jimmy Pardo.
Pardo, yeah. Who's coming to Westport soon?
Yeah, he works for Conan.
Does he? Yeah. He'll be in St. Louis in a couple months.
Yeah.
Funny thing, just to end about these late night guys, about a little over a year ago, Greg Warren, who we were just talking about, was on Late Night with Seth Meyers. So Greg was nice enough. He's like, hey, man, come out to New York. Come to the show with me. We'll hang. We'll bring you backstage. I was like, oh, shit. All absolutely, right, man. So, dude, it was just the coolest thing, man. Because, like, when you're on the program and you bring a guest, you're treated like you're on the program. Yeah. I got the same treatment as Greg. I just wasn't on the camera. Right. Basically, you go in the Rockefeller Center, right? There's some lady, so someone was there to greet you. They already knew. Like, the first, they get a limo to pick you up at his place in Queens, right? You get a limo in to, doors open. There's, like, literally, like, I guess, like, paparazzi or whatever media team is, like, looking to see, like, because they know that's a guest coming in, you know, the big stretch car. And, of course, they see my face and Greg's. Like, no pictures of these. I don't know. Must just be like maybe he's like an executive, like, no one give a shit. But it was just see all, like, the media, like, not, you know, all these people just standing around. And we go in, you take up to the I believe it's like the fifth or sixth floor, it's the same floor as SNL, man. And it's so cool. The doors open, and you just look down the hall, and you see, like, the main hall to SNL, and you just see, like, I just remember seeing it was the coolest, like, sight, man. Like, I just see all these wardrobes and pictures, and I'm like, for 5 seconds, I was like, the greatness that has been passed through this hallway, man.
Definitely.
It was absolutely mind-blowing, man. And then we just kind of go around another hall and another corner, and then we're in the Seth Meyers studio, and right in the green room, man. And it was just cool, man. You just felt like for 5 minutes, I felt like a fucking rock star, man. You know, flat screen TVs, you know, all the food you want, man. Drinks, beverages, the whole thing. Seth comes in. Right, so Seth comes in, says hi to Greg. Now, I'm in the green room. Greg's publicist, Greg's agent, and I think his manager, man, is in the green room. So Seth walks in. I'm like, oh, shit, you're Seth. Get the fuck out of the way, Sean. Just get out. I literally, like, try and, like, just hide in the corner of this green room, which is not that big, by the way. So now fast forward. Greg's meeting, you know, Seth. They're, you know, hey, nice to meet you. And evidently there's a staff photographer walking around, and they just take candid shots of whoever. And there's a shot of Greg meeting Seth, and it's a perfect shot of a man. Greg's got this great smile. It's the back of Seth's head and his back of his suit and all that. And then in the corner of the picture is me, just with, like, my shoulders up and, like, this paranoid face. Oh, basically a look of, oh, this guy's trying to get out of the picture, but he didn't do a good job, and he's still in it. It's actually, I was like, oh, man, he's going to hate me. He actually loved it because it's just, like, classic me. I'm just in the way. And if you go to Greg Warren's Facebook page, he's got a fan page, that's his cover photo. His cover photo is that picture of me, and then my dumbass in the corner just – You got to see my. All I'm doing is to try and not be involved in any of it. Conversation, picture. Yeah, I'm in it. I made it. So just the three of us, man. But it was cool, dude. That was like Christopher Waltz was a guest, and God, that chick from Orange is the New Black, the black girl. I can't think of her name. I don't know. I mean, like
Crazy Eyes.
Yeah. She was great, man. Yeah. Got to meet her. So you know, so nice. Waltz, pretty quiet.
Yeah,
I didn't talk to him. He was first panel. He got in and out. He didn't even mess with his green room, dude. I went over to his green room and just mopped up all his treats. I swear to God, he went up first, and then when he was done, he left because everyone gets their own room, and the door's open. It just says Christopher Walt. No one's in there. He's gone. I just went in there, just destroyed all his little goodies and stuff, man.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty fun, man. It was pretty fun. So,
I heard something about like in that building in I don't know if it's in back of where the Jimmy's shooting the Tonight Show now or something like or the late night show or I forget the what studio it was in.
Yeah,
I've heard story like Jim Henson like drew the original like stuff on like the pipes water pipes like there was a.
Yeah,
or something like that. Like drew like original like Muppet ideas or something like that.
Oh shit! Okay, yeah.
Something along these lines. Because he used to do the Muppets
right,
stuff, on Tonight Show and then so anyway something like that.
Dude, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean the history in that building. I mean, right. It's insane. I mean Carson.
Yeah,
you know I think started in that building. I think where Fallon's show is today, Carson's show was in there. Right. I mean I think he eventually went to Los Angeles. I believe. But yeah, man, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Apparently, they have it like preserved now, like a case around it or whatever. Like, but there's like the original water pipes are like exposed there or something like that,
that's legendary. Yeah. I mean, that shit's. I mean, could you imagine like what's his name, Matt Groening from The Simpsons, whoever created those cartoons? Like, if that's just sketched
right
somewhere, like the original Bart head with the little or Homer's face. I mean, that would be. Holy shit, yeah, man. They'd be like shipped off to a museum. I mean,
that's just crazy. All the amount of history that's in that one building. You know that everything that's come out of Rockefeller there.
Too, it's great. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the SNL. I mean, yeah, it's crazy, man. Mm-hmm. It was definitely neat. But I swear, man, that something about those doors opening, man, and seeing that SNL.
Yeah,
because it's on the same floor as SNL sets.
Right.
Fallon is in 5, I believe. He's one below, but it was just. When those elevators open and you're just, oh, dude, it was like a party. Is like, you know what, fuck it, just break away.
Yeah.
Just go and run wild. just to experience. Because I grew up, you know, watching a ton of that show. And
yeah.
I have a ton of respect for that program. And
I didn't start like watching SNL live, like, you know, or like recording them and stuff too. I kind of got big on them when they were running repeats on this on Comedy Central. I used to watch a lot of the, you know, Sandler, Farley, Spade, a lot of that cast. They run a lot of those.
Yeah, man. That's kind of when I kicked in, man. And those, you know, those was great. You know, he said Tim Meadows was up there, and you know Schneider, and I mean, goddamn, man, that was a really exciting time.
I loved all that those years, and then. Then I continue. You know, still, that's where I got hooked on it. I think it was just that. But I love the show, and I've been, like I said, watching for many years. And it's just you know, it's kind of one of those things. Like you know, people have their cast that they're used to or whatever. And then when things kind of change, like people are like, oh, it's not any good anymore or whatever it is. And you know, saying the same thing. Like when people like music, and then they're like, "Oh, there's no good music being made anymore," or something like that.
It's all fine if that's what.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's like I have a. I don't mean to fucking, you know, wear out my U2 pitch, but it's like everyone's like, I always, this is the classic argument here with U2. Yeah, I like their old shit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were some of the most amazing. I mean, Joshua Tree is arguably. You know, I mean, just sales wise, I think it's in like the top 25 of all time. I mean, the first 4 songs in that album were massive hits, massive. And then if you know that album, I mean, the rest of the album is perfect. It's a perfect CD. So then, yeah. So now you're trying to now make a new album that's better than basically a perfect album. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, fine, all right. So you know, someone says they like their certain shit better. Or they like their old shit better. Right. It's like, yeah, because that was the best shit they gave you, man. It's so hard. That's why, like, I'm such a big Bill Burr fan, because that guy somehow to me makes a special. And I'm like, oh man, dude, he outdid himself. Like, yeah. He's not gonna make one better,
right?
And we're like, then that guy makes another hour, and I'm like, holy shit, I think I like this hour more than the last one. And then he makes another one, and I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Yeah. This is insane how good it is, you know. And it's hard, man. I mean, it's just a hard, it's hard to do. But I don't know, there's also a thing too. People are just jaded. I mean,
sure.
There's just this thing, like, I don't. Just come on, man. Try and not be. Be a little more open-minded. Like, goddamn, how bad is something it's got to be if you're a fan of the music?
Like, but yeah, you know, for SNL, like, it's constantly evolving. The newer, young cast they have now, like, they're putting out great stuff. It's like, they might not all hit, but there's always something in there that's, like, you know, great, a great, you know, sketch or whatever. So,
I mean, dude, they develop, you know, those. You know, that cats, they'll turn into fucking megastars, you know, usually. A lot of them. Sure. I mean, it's wonderful, man. And that's so, I mean, you know, think about how many sketches have been done right now, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
just, And that's the thing.
To come up with a new idea, I mean, there's just, like, you can only pull from so much world.
Right.
And I know it's a massively huge world, but, you know, there's been Mad TV, and then you've got, you know, people just doing their own shit on YouTube, and then, you know, even like, you know, Odenkirk and, what's his name, you know, David Cross. Yeah. I mean, there's just all these guys, like, and they're doing the best they can of original content. You know, Schumer's got her show. It's like, you know, man, it's fucking hard, man. Sure. It's hard to make a good, fresh, original one, man, because it's like, fuck, there's just so much content that's been talked. That's why as a comic, you're like, the amount of times in my brain I've bailed on new bits because I'm just, like, petrified. I'm like, oh, come on, man, you can't be the first one to think of that or say, you know what I mean? Like, you really can all get in your own head with that shit. But that's always my fear. It's not even about, like, well, I think the joke will work or not. It's like, did someone else do this? Or, you know, I'm sure. You know, and then there's that thing as a comic. You got to be like, okay, you almost have to know a little bit, like, if this is hacky or not. Like, it's like the old joke. Like, you can't go on stage and do jokes about, like, what's going on with, you know, like, side effects with all these pills, you know, like, I get nausea and diarrhea, and it's like, isn't that why I took the money? Like, that's one of those bits where, like, I swear, at one point, so many guys, you know, touched on that.
Yeah.
To the point it was like, all right, it would be a hack premise done, you know what I mean? Right. You know, even, like, airplane food and shit like that. That's just some things you just know, but it's like, you know. Then a part of me is like, well, I don't know, what if I had an airplane story, and it was, like, a real unique and original thing to me, you know? Like, what if it was, like, this thing where... But even that, I'm like, no, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say the word airplane even on stage because I feel... But then again, I'm sure a lot of guys would argue with that and say, no, man, fuck. If you're not... As long as you're telling it from your own heart and your own perspective, then you're great. And if you get flagged on it and says, hey, somebody else does the... You know, all right, great. Now I know. And now I'll drop it. So I'm sure... That's one thing I know, man. Watching so much comedy, man. I mean, you hear a lot of premises that get repeated, you know? And it's just like, what are you gonna do? You know, that's again, it's the world. You can only pull from so much world, and that's why I at least try and keep it talking about my life a little bit, and try and keep it somewhat, not too, you know, too observatory you know, just looking at shit and then giving my opinion on, because that's where you can start trampling on, you know, like especially now, like, all the politics shit, like, you know, when you do political jokes, it's like so many people are just you know, on Twitter. And, you know, even on the TV shows, you know, Riley and Marr and all those guys, you know, they're all doing essentially. Yeah. So it's like, even if you think you have, like, the best Bernie Sanders joke or Donald Trump joke, there's a good chance somebody probably has a similar spin on it, you know, because you're just giving your opinion. You know, it's not an experience that you're really having, in the sense. It's just what you think of. All right. So, by the way, because we were you last night were on The Point.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. With the so people don't know what's going on with that. So, all right, The Point's a local radio station. Yeah. Right? It's been around here for a long time. They do a Sunday night show, and then who were you with?
Yeah, it was Cornbread on a Sunday night local show, and I've known of him for long. He does, like, these They used to do broadcast it live at Pops for the Sunday night local show, and they'd have bands come in there and play, and all this stuff. And then like, so anyway, I've known my friends played down there, and then they get played on the point and stuff. And like, I've known him for a long time through that. And then he also had a band, or has a band called Brook Royal. He plays drums with, and gotcha. So I'm a fan of that too. And so I've just seen him around the scene for a long time. And when I started doing the podcast, I reached out. I said, "Hey, man, let's, you know, obviously mine's all local music. You're all local music. Let's talk." So I threw it out there, and I had him on the show once before with Brook Royal, and then he invited me on his show to talk. And then I also recorded a little interview with him last night, so he'll be. So I did about 25-minute interview.
That's great,
for my show, and then I was on the air with him for a couple segments, and it was it was really exciting, man. It was my first like real, radio thing. Like I did,
Man. And dude, like I think I told you this off the show, but yeah, what you're doing for these guys and for even comics, even band, I mean, it's incredible, man. I mean, even today, you live 30 minutes from me, dude, and it's just really a nice. I know you're not getting rich if you're making much off these, and you're just doing it for the love of the artist and the shows, sure. And so that's a wonderful thing, man, because that's just people like you are hard to find, that's not a common thing, and that's so hoping, man, this thing will, really start getting some legs and moving. It sounds like, what are we at, like episode what, this will be
mid
170s or something, that's unbelievable, dude.
I'm trying to
do you have any bands that you really enjoy, like personally, where you're like some of your favorites on the show here that you're like, I don't know, there's something about you guys just connected real well and you're like, oh man, there's some of these guys that were just incredible, or do you kind of feel like it's pretty even with
they're all like
unique in their own way.
Sure, definitely. Yeah. There's a couple of standout moments that I think of that, just were a lot of fun for me as the host and things. And then, or like some really cool performances and stuff where people come on and play something acoustic. And
sure, man. That's cool. Right. Yeah. You actually get some live music.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
So there's a couple of those acoustic things that I recorded that I'm very proud of, like the fact that how well they picked up for single mic recording.
Sure.
Like I have.
Speaking of hack questions, so who's your favorite band? I know you've been asked it a billion times. Top. You don't have to. I won't even pigeonhole you on that. Just say name one that's in your top five.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know. It's always changing. I think like I go in a lot of different ways with music.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
One of my most recently favorite shows I've been to that's coming to mind is JJ Gray and Mofro. I went to see them at Kansas City and Knuckleheads.
All right. Yeah.
And I've been a fan a long time. That was my first time getting to finally see them live. But
yeah.
What they did live and their new record and everything and just like the energy that they capture and stuff is just a whole lot of fun, man. They're just great, like soul kind of music stuff. A lot of like the new record I described, like it was like a Temptations album, with the different singers and stuff. But sure, it was instrumentals were kind of right.
So then will you kind of gravitate towards a band more based on how you see them in a live venue? Does that kind of affect? Or are you more like, I don't know if they're studio albums or whatever is good?
Yeah, I mean, I love the live experience. I love going out to...
Right.
That's why I do what I do. I go to shows all the time, going to live comedy all the time and stuff.
You're a goddamn wizard. Somehow you're like... You'll be in Kansas City, but then you're also Columbia in the same hour. I swear to God. You'll check into St. Louis Funny Bone, but then in an hour you'll be in Ohio to five. Like, how did that? It's impossible.
Right.
I don't even know how you do it, man. you definitely hustle.
But obviously I can appreciate a studio album and stuff too. But for me, it goes beyond the song. It's the, like I said, that energy that's created in a live setting like that, and that's what I'm hooked on.
It's sure,
that,
man.
That feeling that, of great music way moves me and stuff. So
dude, that's great. I mean, that's exactly what these bands and artists want, man. The guys are your passion. So, Good for you, man.
But yeah, I mean, and it's not all me. Like I said, obviously, I'm a huge comedy fan.
Yeah.
I've seen you and Josh Arnold and Essig and all these, all my buddies here in St. Louis. I've seen you guys a bunch of times, but it's still always fun for me. Like I still have, let alone hanging out with you guys, off stage and sure. everything, we're buddies, but it's like, I love watching you guys perform and that. Dynamic of that the show is always going to be different,
Yeah.
It's like,
yep.
Because you never know what, who's going to be in the crowd, how it's going to react to, and watching you guys work and come up with a, bouncing off the crowd and feeding off that energy too. So,
absolutely, man. That is one of the neatest things of the job is that, you'll do two shows on a Friday.
Yeah.
And one could be dog shit, and you're like, oh, this is, and then you do the same act. You're like, all right, let's just hit restart and
right.
different audience, and it's just magical, man. You're like, fuck, wow, and that is definitely, that's what you experience with your bits where you're like, you throw it out there and you're like, all right, this is a strong joke, it works 90% of the time, and then 10% you're like, why does it land? But yeah, it's what you said, man. It could be, just how that crowd is, man. Again, is it too personal? Are they too sensitive to the subject? So there's a million factors.
Sure.
But it does make it pretty neat, man. That's kind of live stand-up,
I'm kind of getting to that point now where, I've been doing a lot of these, and then, sometimes I get to thinking to myself, why I'm even doing it sometimes, It's like, what it is, and then but a moment comes along sometimes, like a cornbread calling or whatever, these moments like that
yeah, man,
and like it kind of lights a fire again, and so I kind of get, I've beaten that for me. I feel like I connect even more now to comedians and artists and musicians doing it, because I feel like I've talked to enough of them, and that's like, the same thing they battle with. They're like, you got off nights and then you got good nights, and you keep chasing that high of that good night.
Dude, there's no question, man. And that's, I mean, there's been moments that I've had shows that have been so awful that I'm like, fuck, I'm done. Like, and I know it sounds like a baby mentality, but like, you're just so mentally exhausted,
right?
Because it's such, when it's great, man, don't get me wrong, it is, there really is
sure.
nothing better in the world. It's better than any fucking drug. It's better than any fucking sexual experience. It's the best. To me, Stan, it is the neatest fucking feeling. However, when it goes off the runway, and you're just alone up there, dying. People are staring at you. Although I've been pretty lucky, man, my act doesn't really cross lines or boundaries. It's not a safe act in a sense, but it's nothing. I'm not doing anything, I'm not reinvent the wheel. I'm not doing anything. I'm not shitting at myself either, but I'm saying, so I'm one of those guys, like, people will never, like, come up to me and be like, oh, like, I never get, like, you were the greatest I've ever seen, but I also never get, like, you were awful,
Right.
So I kind of just, I'll middle of the road, So I don't shake too many people up, man, for the most part, so.
You've been working with some pretty big ones though recently.
Man,
you got to hang with Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, that was really cool, man. So I was up at Florentine. Well, the Cable Guy thing was up in Omaha, Nebraska, and Larry, or Dan, his real name's Dan,
yeah.
Dan Whitney, him and Jeff Foxworthy were doing Sirius XM taping for their show. They have a show, I guess, I don't know if it's weekly or however, but they have some channel or some pro show in there.
Yeah, Blue Collar Comedy.
Yeah. And they were doing a taping for it at the Omaha Funny Bone, like on a Friday afternoon before their show at like whatever theater in Omaha. And Foxworthy and Cable Guy are close with the booker in Omaha. This was woman Colleen Quinn, who's just an angel, man. Just the nicest. I just absolutely love her, and this is not an ass kissing moment. If I quit comedy, I would seriously go up there a few times a year just to hang out with her. She's just the coolest, and very respected in this business, man. And I think she, when Larry was starting, I think he would come through, her club and stuff and whatever. So she arranged it for them to do the taping in the Omaha showroom.
Yeah.
So Josh and I were actually on the show that weekend with Greg Warren. Funny how it all ties up like that, and So, you know, Colleen the Bush, she's like, yeah, come on, watch this guy do a show. We're like, absolutely, man. So we, you know, watched the show. It was like an hour. It was great. And it was like an invite only. There was like 300 people in there. And then everyone's leaving. We're just hanging around. And then, you know, Colin's like, hey, come meet these guys. And, you know, talk to Jeff for a few minutes, man. He was cool. He was talking about the Braves. I think he's from Atlanta. And we're just talking sport. And then, and Cable got, I mean, I could not believe how cool he was to all of us, man. I mean, it was just like they treated us like we were on the same level as him, man. There was no, he was like, hey, guys, thanks for, it's nice to meet other comedians. Thanks for, you know, watching the show. And, man, he really, it's funny because I feel like, obviously he's doing a character, but I feel like I didn't realize how, it felt really, like, when he's out of that character and just talking as a dude, man, he almost sounded like, to me, like a Northeast guy, man. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, man, you really do kind of dial in that yeah. kind of, you know, accent and stuff. And, hey, look, man, I, good for him, man. That guy has a massive following, and he does things the way he wants to do them. And look, it might not be for everyone, you know, and you know, but dude, when you can sell 20,000 seats in a city, you know what? Sure. I don't give a shit who you are. I don't give a shit how bad you. That's pretty impressive, man. Like you're doing something right, and just a great dude, man. And really, really cool to meet him. And then, yeah, Florentine, I've worked with a few times. Jim's been great to me. I was with him in Kansas City about a month ago. And another guy, man. I mean, like, when you go to some of these cities, man, they like to use local openers. And he was like, he went to bat for me. He's like, no, I'm bringing a guy from St. Louis. He's you know, he's great. He'll do well. And he did, man, you know. Yeah. And, yeah, man, I've got to work with some really cool dudes, man. And that's one thing I'd say, man. I'm not even just saying this to say it. Like, everyone has generally been pretty nice, you know? Yeah. I mean, from Todd Berry to Judah Freelander to even, I got the, one of my first shows ever was Bill Burr and Anthony Jeselnik. I mean, I could just do a laundry list of dudes. And it's cool, man, because you actually get to meet these guys and hang with them a little. And, sure. You know, they're, you know. They're just dudes, man. Yeah. They're just good guys, man.
I say it all the time. That's exactly why I'm doing this. Like, I like, you know, luckily I've been fortunate enough to be, you know, becoming friends with these guys and, like, be able to hang with them, you know, and, you know, that whole thing, like, when they're not on the stage, I, you know, get to know them as people and just, it's really cool to see, you know, get to know them as, you know, like I said, become friends with them and know them as people instead of, I look at, for one example, is Steve Ewing of The Urge. He's I'm a huge Urge fan, and like, for the longest time was like, man, that's, you know, The Urge, you know, it's like, but now I walk into, you know, somewhere and I see Steve, it's like, hey, man, you know, great to see you. You know, it's like, we are friends now, and it's like, I pinch myself thinking, like, this is nuts that I'm getting to hang with Steve Ewing.
That's fine. I remember when I was, whenever Jump Right In came out, I don't know what year that was. But I think it was before, like, 2008.
Right.
And
whenever
that song was out, I was living in Rochester, and that song, there was a local radio station that played, like, a lot of indie, independent music, and just kind of, like, these bands that, like, aren't, like, these big commercial bands. I remember hearing that song. And I remember, I was like, oh, this is catchy as shit. Yeah. And I was living in St. Louis. I didn't know that they were in St. Louis. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And then I moved here, and they're like, hey, you know this song? I'm like, yeah, I know that song, man. Yeah. I played on BER in Rochester. And then I explored him some more, and I was like, oh, shit, man. Yeah, they got a cool groove to them, man. They definitely dig them, man.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I've kind of talked about it, but one day my buddy, so last year for the 1 year, like, party of the show, I did over at Steve's Hot Dogs, did like an acoustic brunch thing over there with Steve.
Yeah.
And it went real well, but I was talking to my buddy Will, like, before, you know, I was like, yeah, so Steve Ewing texted me the other day trying to tell me I need to get the lineup going here, and I was like, and he goes, so Steve Ewing just text you? And I was like, that happened. Like, you know, it's like, it's pretty crazy sometimes. But yeah, if I could go back and somehow tell, you know, 15-year-old Shane that he's hanging out with The Urge.
I know, like, isn't that, absolutely, man. That's the beauty. To me, I like that. I like the fact that as an adult you can kind of have that joy like a kid on Christmas feel with you know, artists or comics or whoever you're, you know, into. Yeah. Like, some people are like, no, man, don't act that way. Don't be a professional. You know? And I'm like, no, I won't. I will. I'll be excited and love it and not give a shit and take pictures and and just be like, yeah, I got to hang with, you know. Yeah. I love it. I don't give a shit. Because, you know, if that ever, if I was ever fortunate enough to be in that position and someone said it to me, like, how fucking flattering is that, man?
Sure.
If someone's like, yeah, man, I've been watching you for 10 years and you just are like a, you know, you'd be like, wow, man. Yeah. A part of me would be like, all right, you're lying. But then I would be like, no, man, this guy really, or this girl really likes it. Holy shit, man. Like, what? I don't know. To me, I think that would be, there's nothing more rewarding as an artist to hear someone be like, you know, be looked upon, like, sure. because of not just because you're a person, because of what you're doing on a stage.
Yeah.
Man, that's the greatest.
I was thinking when you mentioned Jeff and Larry, I thought of, there was a couple years ago now, they came through Scott Trade and. I was given free tickets. Something happened with they weren't able to use them that night, and they said, "Hey, it was a friend of mine." They were like, "Here, you want? Would you use these tickets?" And I'm like, "Sure, yeah, you know." And they were like, probably close to $100 a piece, you know,
sure,
or something,
man,
like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was because it was a blue collar tour, so it was Jeff, Larry, Bill, and they had it's Reno.
Rick Collier.
Yeah.
He was for a long time, he was Cable Guy's opener.
Yeah.
I think when he was like a club act. So maybe even like in theaters too. Yeah. Like I know he was an opener. He had lines. That guy was at Westport a few years ago.
Sure. But yeah, they didn't Ron wasn't one with them on this run of it. But anyway, they it was awesome though, man. Like, and we happened to be like sitting on the like near the aisle where they entered at. Just out of, you know, luck. And so they come through and go to the stage, you know, and they all did, just like in the DVD, they all did their own couple 20 minutes or whatever. And then they did like brought out the stools and they did some storytelling kind of stuff after that.
Right.
So that's my favorite part of it. Just while all four of them up there hanging out, and it was more like Reno was asking questions.
Right. And then they were, yeah, that's kind of what they did in Omaha with their show, man. They were just bouncing off.
Sure.
You know, stories from the road or from whatever, you know, and you could tell it was real natural and not scripted, and it was, and they had a great time, you know, and the crowds loved it, man.
We were right there as they were leaving the stage, too, and I had a notebook, I threw it down there, and I got Bill, Jeff, and Larry all to sign it, so like...
Oh, that's great. Oh, no shit, man. Yeah.
So like, it was pretty awesome, just like, you know, happened to be... On the right on the aisle,
right angle.
So we reached over the rail and handed down there, and they all said, "Hey, thanks, man." You know, so like it was a cool moment, man. Just like you don't get that kind of stuff a lot, but it was neat.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, absolutely.
We got anything else on the?
Well, I think we're.
You got some dates, right?
Yeah, I got a couple. Omaha. I will be back in Omaha in March. Yeah. I think, what was I say, 10th to the 13th, I believe.
Yeah.
Up there with Augie Smith. And then I'm doing, I have to say, this is so stupid, but I'm just so excited. I'm doing an open mic at the Pasadena Ice House in out in California.
Yeah.
With this guy, Adam Ray, hooked me up with like a 3-minute open mic spot. But I think it's like an open mic with like pros, like could be some heavy hitters on there. So I'm almost like nerve. I'm like, God, man, you know, there's just something about like an intimidation level that comes up if you're in a room and you're like, holy shit, like there could be what, Daniel Tosh in this thing or Bill Burr. You're like, God damn, but I don't know. Yeah, it's not even like something to plug. It's more of just like I'm just proud to be able to do something with like these big names, all because of, I got a favor called in. But
Adam's no slouch, man.
New
Ghostbusters and Heat. And
yeah, man, that guy
Spy.
He's a good comic, man. He's doing well, but I think he'll really blow up, man.
Sure. Yeah, just a couple weeks ago, he was in town, and I was fortunate enough to get a couple minutes to hang with him and stuff.
That's right,
and
man. Yeah,
he's awesome.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude, man, for sure. So, yeah, that's about it, buddy, you know. Yeah.
So if you're in the Pasadena area.
Yeah, I know, in 2 weeks. So stupid. a week from this Wednesday. Oh, I shouldn't say because it depends what this post. But February 25th, and then March 10th through the 13th in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah,
you can see my shit. And then I'll be at and then I'm in Westport first week of April with Vince Morse. Funny Bone. Westport.
Man, Vince is great. I haven't been in a little while, but I just thought of just popped up in my memories thing or whatever the other day. It was we saw him at Westport, and he. I happened to be sitting up front and became a part of the show for a while.
Yeah.
He started talking to me and said something along the lines, you know, so I do work custodial stuff, my day job, and Vince says, you know, like, we starts asking me questions about what I do and all this, and then and I was with my now wife, Stacy, and she, you know, he said something along the lines about, like, you know, asking if we ever hooked up in the broom closet or something like that and all this.
Yeah,
so,
that's fucking right.
Yeah, it was just cracking me, because we met at work, so that's how, like, so that was how it all started. So anyway, it was just really funny, like,
yeah,
being a part of the show and Vince and stuff. It was, we have that connection now, that memory and
that's
thing.
Great, man. Yeah, dude, you should come out and see him and tell him that, man.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that guy, he's a machine, man. That there's a guy too, man. We want to see a good show, dude.
Yeah.
Vince Morris, fucking
yeah. Oof,
he's a killer, man. So well, so yeah, man, those are my dates.
Yeah.
And
thanks for having us over, man. Having me over.
No, you got it, dude. Yeah, I hope this place doesn't freak you out. Yeah, if you guys could visually see what we're staring at right now, my roommate is an insane horror fan. Loves horror films. And, dude, I'm not even lying. Our apartment, which is very nicely kept, I think, for the most part, clean. You know, it's fine. Looks normal. There's books all over, and then there's just pictures. I swear to God. There's a life-size, like, Chucky doll.
And Bride.
And the Bride, yeah. And then a Leatherface poster. I don't even know what the fuck that thing is. But it's signed, but that's some sort of creature. And then it just keeps going, man. There's just the kitchen, there's Dexter posters, and it's hilarious. My buddy, that's my buddy Josh, man. He's a fan, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, yeah, silly man. Place. But.
I appreciate you doing
this. Yeah, thanks, brother. This was fun, man. We appreciate you doing all this, so thanks for supporting us and having me back on, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was a good hang, for sure.
Definitely. So, yeah, come out, see Sean. Down at Westport Funny Bone, or Omaha, or Pasadena, and what do you got? Twitter that can.
Yep, Sean. Fuck. What is it? Me and Mike.
Sean O'Brien's
idiot name. Yeah, Sean _ O'Brien's. Yeah. I can't find. It would either have to be that or like Sean O'Brien 6482971 because there's just no neat way to fucking all the handles have been taken on Twitter. So. Yeah, I'm on there. I don't do much of it. You know, I try and tweet a joke. It just sits there. I think everyone's muted me. I swear. I could put the most offensive shit. It just sits there. I get no activity, but whatever, man. It's good to have as a comic regardless. So, yep, Sean _ O'Brien's. And then, you know, dumb Facebook and all that shit, which you'll see up there. So.
You didn't opt to go with the real Sean O'Brien? Or?
I know, man. That's what my buddy Jets with Josh does, the real one. Yeah. I'm sure. I tried. It's already probably taken. Yeah. I'm sure someone's using it right now. I just say the fake one. What's the not real one?
Florentine, I think, is like Mr. Jim or something. Or Mr.
Yeah.
Florentine.
Well, because sometimes what people do is like, you know, if they know like a celebrity or someone big is not on Twitter, they'll actually grab their name. So then they have to, you know, do like, or, you know, maybe they legitimately do have the same name or we got it first. Like,
yeah.
But, like, I try to get a SeanO'Brien.com, please. Yeah. Take a number. It's like some dude who's in the picture business or something. He's like photography or something, I believe. So,
yeah.
It's funny, you wrote to end this thing, too. Greg Warren. I don't know if this has changed. This was as like of a year ago. Greg Warren's website is GregWarrenComedy.com. And someone, at least, I don't know if this changed. If you went to GregWarren.com, it was just a white basically background that said this is not Greg Warren. That was it.
Yeah.
Some asshole bought a domain it's nothing. It's empty.
Yeah.
But I haven't checked in that in a while, so I always thought that was it. So we had to go, you know, he had to go after Greg Warren Comedy. Sure. So.
Yeah, I hear a lot of those stories, like listening to Crab Feast and About Last Night podcast, all these comedians come on and they all have, you know, if they got .net or whatever their handle is on their websites and stuff like that. And they're all like, yeah, it's owned by some, you know, real estate guy or a car, you know, dealership or something, you know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, now it's like Google's so goddamn, it doesn't, all you just type in the name, you know, and it'll take you. Like, are people actually entering in the website?
Yeah.
You go to Google, you throw it into Google, and then it'll direct, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
right. Everybody, I mean, that's the thing. I think even before that, people are going to Facebook and Twitter anyway, you know, like, to find your stuff, so.
Yeah, you go, so it doesn't matter. Like, Jim Florentine's podcast is called, comedy metal midgets.
Yeah.
You know, like, but you, all you, if you don't know what it's called and you know we need a podcast, you just put Jim Flaherty podcast. Yeah, and sure. They'll so stupid. You don't need websites and all that shit. So.
All right, buddy.
All right, dude. Thanks so good hang, man. And thanks for swinging over, brother.
Yeah.
Appreciate.
All right. We'll see you out there, Sean. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.